Radio show. Today is Sunday, January 12th, and it's a new year. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I am Ash Riot.
And this is our third anniversary show, third anniversary show.
We have been doing this radio show now for
what? I don't know, three?
3 years.
Yes, and so we have decided that we're just going to basically talk a bit about what's been going on for us the last 3 years. We're going to share with you our most recent single. We're going to try not to squeak this table too much because we are in Deming, Washington, currently enjoying a little bit of R&R. And
it just keeps squeaking. I'm just going to sit this way. There we go. It's a squeaky table.
And yes, we are at a squeaky table on a squeaky chair in a squeaky place.
It is quite squeaky, but it is, it's actually rainy and squeaky.
It's rainy and it's squeaky it and has, it's wet.
It has rained for the past 4 days. We're going back tomorrow, but it's been raining here for 4 days straight, maybe with 6 minutes of reprieve. That's it.
But the beauty of being here in amongst all the cedar trees and the beautiful lush green of Washington State. We're in a very rural area. It just feels very cleansing.
Mm-hmm, it is, for
sure. Yeah, so the rain is a really great thing. I actually really like rain.
I like rain, too, especially coupled with beautiful food.
What do you mean? How can you equate rain with food?
Because when you're cozy in a trailer, it's nice to have things like soup. And, I don't know. What? I think I am very logical. I'm logical. And I would like anyone who feels the same way to please call in. Yeah, and tell me that I am right.
They have so much to talk about right now.
Tea.
What?
Soup. All these things that are cozy.
Tea and soup.
Yeah.
And slippers. Slippers are cozy.
I haven't worn slippers yet.
Well, I'm sorry, but you've got only 2 out of 3.
Fine.
You got to cross that off your trailer bucket list, Ash.
Whatevs.
Whatevs. It is our third anniversary.
Yeah, that's true.
So what have we been doing for 3 years, Ash? Tell everybody.
Doing the radio show. For 3 years. And
isn't it amazing how quickly time goes by?
It goes by so fast. Time is just, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like it's just, you wake up and then it's like 3 years is gone. But other times it seems so slow.
According to physics and metaphysics and whatnot, time is just an illusion.
Yeah.
It's not real.
For sure.
So sometimes, don't you find that time actually isn't always the same?
Yes, time is, exactly.
Do you know
it speeds
what I mean
up,
by that?
Slows
That's
down.
That's right.
Hmm.
And here, where we are, it actually feels like we're almost in a vortex.
Here, when we're in the forest here, it always seems like we're here for one day. I know my dad feels this way, too, when he's
here. Yeah, there's something that goes on here.
Yeah,
energetically, it's pretty cool.
And it's just, it's like a portal here or something. No, seriously, it's
Let's
like...
Let's talk about portals.
Yeah, 3 years, we're talking about portals today.
Well, you know what we can talk about? One of the things is we've had a privilege in the last 3 years not only to continue to create music, but also to go to great music and watch great music be played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're talking about portals this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the Neptune Theater in Seattle.
Yeah, we were going to... I think you mentioned we were going to tell the radio people about this before.
Well, let's tell them now. It's our third anniversary show. We'll tell you about this. We went to go see Mazzy Star.
The best band in the world.
She's amazing. She and he. What's his name? I'm sorry.
David Roback.
David Roback is the guitar player. And Hope Sandoval is the lead singer and
most
harmonica player.
Best singer.
She's got a really beautiful hunting voice.
The best moment of music ever in all of the world was hearing Mazzy Star do Into Dust.
Into Dust.
That was the best moment of all time.
At the Neptune Theater.
Yeah, the Neptune Theater is insane.
It's not insane.
What I mean by insane is absolutely you need to define. Full of energy.
It's not only, I mean, energy, but, you know, it's interesting because for those of you who are really close to us, you know us intimately, and we don't mean sexually. I hate that when people think.
I don't think anyone thought that.
Well, most people think, you probably think I'm drunk. I'm drinking a non-alcoholic beer. No, what I'm saying is that when someone says they know you intimately, the connotation is it's sexual. But when I speak about intimacy, I mean about somebody knowing you very emotionally. They're close to you emotionally. They're close to you mentally. And so on that basis of intimacy, for those of you who know both Ash and I intimately, you know that we have abilities that go beyond the five senses, and we've shared about them in previous shows. And so we walk into the Neptune Theater. I had no idea about the theater itself. I knew nothing. I just knew I was going to go see a concert. I was trying to find it because I was the one who was driving.
Imagine if I was driving and I was trying to figure out where we were going.
Anyways, I was the one who was driving, and I had my trusty phone. I love my phone because it tells me where to go. It's perfect, and it doesn't swear.
No, we had Angela. We used Angela that time.
Did we use Angela?
We can't use your phone in the States.
Oh, that's true. It wasn't a phone. You have corrected
me. But she does have the iPhone 5, and it's really good.
I use my iPhone 5 for everything, to get to gigs, for everything. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I put my info, and it just tells me where to go, and I follow it. Anyways, yes, we were using Angela.
Who is a GPS.
She is a GPS, and we haven't had, Angela and I haven't had that great of a relationship because she's an older version.
The very first time Cheryl and I really hung out or did anything, we went to Seattle, and I said, I have a GPS. And that was my first time
seeing. You said more than that. You said, I know Seattle like the back of my hand.
Fine.
Quote unquote.
I thought I did, okay? And that was the first time I saw Cheryl's spunk. Let's call it spunk.
Call it my spunk.
Yeah.
My
first time I saw her angry.
I was calling this GPS all sorts of names because as I was driving by the street, your GPS was telling me to turn right.
And I'm thinking, what did I get myself into? I don't know if we can be friends.
Oh, I think it's over. Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Aww,
I'm kidding.
Scary, man.
No,
scary.
Angela was, she deserved it.
Yeah, so getting back to Angela wasn't so bad because we kind of had an idea where we're going this time. Go to the Neptune, walk in, sit down. Actually, it took about 3 or 4 tries before we decided where we're going to sit down, remember?
Yeah, but first, before that, remember you were going to buy some Mario painting from this homeless guy, and he painted Mario.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's when we parked, and there is this
guy. He's like, I'll watch your car.
Him he was Mario great. Painting. I really liked him.
Yeah.
I actually wanted his painting, but I didn't have enough money. And I ended up just giving him all the American change in cash that I had, which was not much. I had a Canadian. He was so funny. He goes, I'll take Canadian. And I said, nah, I don't think so. It's going to be hard for you to exchange it. But anyway, so after we met the fellow and had a nice chat about his art and then walked into the Neptune Theater and took about 3 or 4 times to sit down, the final place that I sat down immediately, I started to feel I was in a cold spot. And for those of you who are sensitive to energy, to spirit, to people mostly from the other side, we say the other side, I don't know. I don't even like that so much. I kind of want to come up with a new term. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even another dimension, although it is. Probably logistically it's another dimension, but it's still part of where we are. So it's hard to sort of, we say the other side, but it's actually kind of here. Anyways, sat down, cold spot, lots of energy, started to feel really lightheaded. I knew things were going on. I'm looking around to see what's going on because it's not like seeing with eyes, seeing with that third eye, right? The other part, the sixth sense of us that each of us have. I don't know how you guys use your sixth senses, but mine is, it's like I click over. I used to call it channel Z. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when I would say, okay, I got to get into channel Z now.
And it's relatively easy to tap into channel Z, but it's not a process. It's like you can't really stop it from happening.
That's your experience.
I can't.
See, the thing is that, you know, everybody who has, you know, is getting access to their sixth sense does it in a different way, whatever suits them. Mm-hmm. And you have your way. Yours is more You're in it. It's not even like you can't even just kind of take it and change the channel. Like I change the channel. It's like changing a radio frequency. Mm-hmm. It's like when you're watching a television and you actually change the channel, or you're you know, listening to the radio, you change the channel. Mm-hmm. That's how I do it. You are always on channel Z. And you're on channel Z and channel E, which is for Earth.
Yeah.
At the same time, simultaneously, which I find super fascinating. And so I was right away saying, Ash, something's going on. I said, I'm saying, Ash, look around. Tell me what you're seeing, because I'm feeling all this stuff. And it was so definitely apparent.
Well, that was the first time that I'd really been to that part of Seattle. So, like, right from before we were even in there, I was like, something feels a little bit, you know, very thick with energy. And the address for the Neptune Theater, in case anybody wants to go, I want to just give the address. Yeah. And the address is 1303 Northeast 45th Street in Seattle. And it's in the University District. And if you get the chance to go to the Neptune, I guess it used to be like just an old movie house.
Mm-hmm.
Do go there, because it's been there for quite a long time, and there's been a lot of renovations, but it doesn't have enough renovations to make it to water it down. It still seems very original in there.
Yeah, so you know, it was quite the experience even prior to the bands coming on, and you can just tell that the bands are getting it too.
Oh yeah,
because that kind of energy, you can't, even if you don't believe in this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. even if you say
look at Massey Star,
going to be affected.
Remember
by
their electronic equipment was going weird.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff going on with the bands.
It was weird from the beginning.
It was all energetic, but it wasn't weird bad. It was weird in a really neat way. Even when I was uncomfortable, I don't often hit cold spots like that.
I know you were just like you, and I felt your shoulder. And you were cold.
It was freezing where I was.
And it was so hot. I was sweating where I was.
And, and like, she was right beside me. And see, that's the thing.
That was November 4th we were there, right?
I think so. Yeah. So we're talking about portals. And that's what we were talking about in that moment, is Ash and I had quite the dialogue around. We felt this was very much almost like a vortex portal kind of situation at the Neptune. So we like to explore things on our own. And then after the concert, then I start researching, because I never knew anything about the Neptune. I'm like, something's going on. And then we find, just from research, that that's been known to, it's called a so-called haunted theater, right? Haunted?
Well, exactly.
Haunted. Well, it's haunted.
We're going to even talk more about this on our next Hologram radio show, which is now titled Haunted Locations with Hologram. So we're going to have a show about haunted locations.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be our next show. So, we're going to talk more about the Neptune then, but one thing more I want to mention about the Neptune is that a lot of times after, I'll just say anywhere, but this was my experience with the Neptune, after the show felt even weirder than when we were there, because even on our way back and after, we're just kind of sitting here at the camp, and all of a sudden it's just like things just really start manifesting physically, like lights off, music turning on, doors closing. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, sometimes things do happen, honestly, sometimes where it is not coincidence, but it is nothing. Like I've had that
It's not energy, it's not an actual spirit that's mm-hmm. creating that. I understand. There's times when you can't sort of say everything is spirit.
Exactly. But this noticeably was absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I still feel like some of the energies from the Neptune on November 4th till now are still here.
Yeah, I know. They're hanging around. Mm-hmm. And we know that. We've already acknowledged that.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're kind of like, hey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly a lot of these... You know, we've had these experiences. Remember one time at Harrison, and there was a gentleman at Harrison who had, this is not a person who is currently alive, a person who had passed who mm-hmm. was there and was talking and saying what he needed. It's interesting, you know, I mean, I'm being very open, but this is kind of our life. Our life is music. Our life is
metaphysics,
very much so. And it's kind of like bringing the two together. And my main thing, what's he doing?
Keep talking, everybody.
My main thing is one of the things that I'd like to do as a person in this lifetime and wanting to to share my life with others is to talk a little bit of and not be so worried about death. And this is one thing that's come to me, like just with all of these experiences, it's been shown to me that death is merely a transition. It's not so much an ending. And we have a dog right now that's going a little crazy because there's things going on around him. The more we talk, the more it happens because there's excitement happening. And so I tend to be very private about this kind of stuff, except for those people who truly do know me very closely. They're aware of this part of my life, but I'm sharing it quite openly just so that others can feel maybe not so weird. You know, when I'll never forget when I first was introduced to the idea of spirit guides. This would have been about year probably 1999. I never really talked about spirit guides or even, you know, connected to my spirit guides. I knew that I wasn't alone, and I had my own belief system then. And I met a man through work, actually, and he wanted to have coffee because he wanted to talk about work-related things. And I worked for a health a magazine publishing company that was focused on health, natural health and healing. And so I was thinking we're just going to sit down and talk about natural health and healing stuff. And he starts telling me about his spirit guides, and he's going on and he's writing a book. And I, you know, in the moment, I was thinking, this guy's a nutcase. That's the truth. Yeah. I was sitting there and I was going, oh my God, like he's just talking so candidly and so openly, like this is just the way it is. And my head's going off like, oh my God, like he really believes this. And I was just saying a lot of, uh-huh. You know how it is when you're having dialogue and you don't really know how to respond. And just like, uh-huh. And it's funny, you know, because it's been, you know, I remember that memory now. And he was a blessing because he was the beginning of opening my mind to aspect of my own guides. Mm-hmm. You know, because I wasn't open to that. You know, I believed in angels and I believed in, but in my mind, these helpers, these angels were almost kind of separate from me. Yeah. They're kind of like, you know, if you had like a stairway, I'm at the bottom of the steps and they're at the top, you know, and I can kind of yell up there and say, hey, angel, can you give me a hand here? But this man was talking about an actual guide who was sort of walking side by side with you. And I was just going, no, that's kind of crazy. And the blessing again was he opened my mind. And the importance for each of us to have open minds, to be willing to be open. There's nothing that can stop us if we have an open mind and we're willing to be open to new things and willing to admit that we don't know everything.
Well, that's what I was going to say is even as a music teacher and stuff like that, I have to be really, really, really discreet about this kind of stuff. And not because I'm, you know, afraid of telling people, but a lot of times I don't even add people who I work with to my Facebook or anything because I don't want to share all of this because, I mean, it's, you have to use your discretion who you're going to be open with and who you're not going to be open with. And I mean, there's a few people that I've told about, you know, the whole kind of metaphysical, you know, aspect of my life. And sometimes it really pays to be open because that guy was open with you and that kind of spurred you on.
He was open with me. Yes.
Exactly. And so when I feel like I need to be open, I do give little bits away, but mostly I don't. And sometimes I wonder if I should be more like that man and tell people, but I always have the answer no, unless I think that it's going to better someone's situation.
Well, meanwhile, everybody who's listening to this radio show is going, well, you're talking about it now. So obviously, mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know who's listening.
Yeah.
You could have a student listening right now. We could have somebody.
Oh, I do. I know I do.
But this is another thing for me. Again, I feel very guided by spirit to be sharing this. And it's not for anything other than just to help us understand not only our connection to each other, but our connections to other things, connections to people who have passed, connections to your guides, connections to death not being the end. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people would probably still say to me, well, that's bullshit because it is the end. And a lot of you have that kind of a mindset, and that's fine. But just because we believe something doesn't necessarily mean that it is, in fact, true. And this is what I think this man helped me, because I had a belief system, and I have always had a sense of spirit, creator, God, ever since I can remember. And I've always wanted to connect to it. I've always wanted to be of service in it. And so this, when I was in that situation with him, even if my mind, my ego mind was going, this guy's crazy. Yeah. There was a part of me was going, there's a reason why he's sharing this with me. Shut your ego off a bit. Maybe listen and just practice a bit of open-mindedness here.
Yeah, that's really important.
And so the next step, you know, after meeting him and him kind of opening my mind to it, my ideas a little, next thing you know, again, it's all about process and progress. I'm looking through the continuing education pamphlet, and there's a spirit guide class. So I'm going, okay.
That's really cool.
I'm open-minded. I'm going to go to this class. And so these are all things that got me to here.
That's really cool.
And whatever happens to me here will get me to there.
Exactly.
So just understanding that if we practice that open-mindedness and not have such egos that we think we know everything, because there's so much we don't know. And even if your belief system, the way you were raised, that doesn't mean that was right either.
Exactly.
Having enough humility and having enough open-mindedness to even put down a belief system that has been ingrained even in your heritage.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
That is something.
That's courage.
That's challenge.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the highest probably challenge that any of us can face. It's Asha's mom. 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 It's Ash's mom.
Hello, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We couldn't get the internet here for a while, but now we got it. I was so worried that I'd miss your show, and I was ready to drive to the library or wherever I had to go, the neighbors.
Thank you so much for calling in, for being the bearer of
Ash.
The bearer of me, and for creating many delicious meals for us, for our shows, before and after.
You're welcome. It's done out of love.
Thank you.
And I, for everybody, for you guys, for Travis, for everybody.
Thank you. So what do you have to share today? On January 12th, 2014.
Well, happy birthday, Auntie Sonia, yesterday.
Happy birthday, Auntie Sonia. You can find her in one of our vlogs.
Also, happy birthday to Baba. It would have been her birthday tomorrow on the 13th.
Oh, that's nice. My mom's grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my grandma, Asha's great-grandma. Wonderful, wonderful person. Talking about spiritual people, that's something else that I believe, and that's that it doesn't matter which way you believe it. If it's coming out of your pores, you're right. Because it's like I remember my grandmother, every time she prayed, I'd look out the window, and the first time that I ever saw an aura was around her, and she had a golden aura. She was just, you could see the connection between her and God. And as you know, our family has a long history of metaphysics in our life. So I don't know if I knew the extent of how deep it was, but I think I saw just day-to-day living what it was. But the number one thing is she was connected to God. Like, I just know it. And you heard the story about how when she passed and how, you know, it came to me after her death because I was so worried where she was. And it came to me, you know, through God again. So I think everybody has that ability to connect with God, whichever God it is that you believe in. God is one, so it's just like looking at a book with different chapters, and every chapter is a face, but it's still one book. So, and still one candle in the middle of the lantern that shines different colored lights. And that's what I got to say.
So how would you, Janice, because you do come from a metaphysical family, as you stated, and how would you, where, because I was talking about like our belief systems, the way we're raised, and you were raised in a very, very strict belief system of Orthodox, yes. Correct?
Yes.
So how do you feel that you can sort of just easily kind of melt the two together? Because a lot of traditional Christians, especially Orthodox or Catholicism Catholic. Or whatnot, are saying that when you're actually speaking, for example, to the dead, it's from the devil and demons and all this. How do you reconcile and say, you know, that this isn't, how can you reconcile the two? How do you feel if you were to share with anybody who's got conflicting belief systems? Like some people are very, very taught, you know, for a very long time that this is from a dark place. How do you reconcile that it's in fact not dark, it's quite light?
Okay. Well, even if you are a Christian, as I am a Christian as well, but I mean, the Bible was written by men, that every time the Bible is translated, something goes missing or something's added to it. So if you delve into the Bible and into the New Testament, you'll find out that there was a Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was, like they called it, the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit, or as the Catholics first called it, was the Holy Ghost. And that was a being that you could connect with. And that being was beyond our earth here. And same as when Jesus passed, he resurrected, came back, and he went. And you can still communicate with him. And you can communicate with God. And the Buddhists believe you can communicate with Buddha. But these are all spirits that have gone to the other side. So I don't see why it's far-fetched. If that's believable, all that, why isn't it believable that we all go there as we are told? And if we can communicate with the spirits on the other side, being, you know, God and Jesus and Buddha and Mohammed and all of them, why can't we communicate with our loved ones that pass on? Like, that just makes sense, and it's logical. If you take down all the barriers of, the doctrine of each faith, that's what I believe. That's how I can explain it, is there's too much doctrine, there's too much, every faith, and it even goes from church to church, of a Christian church, of an Orthodox church, of a Baptist church. They all have their own little clique of beliefs that they add to it or they take away from the Bible. So, you know, I mean, who gives anybody the right to say you're right, you're wrong, you're right, when it's what faith is it's your soul, it's what's inside of you. It's what does go to the other side. And we've just, everybody in their lifetime, I don't care what faith you are, you have an experience and with somebody that's passed on, and you either choose not to look at it, you're afraid to look at it, or you think it's taboo, so you ignore it. So that's what I think.
Well, I think that the reason why a lot of religions look down on basic spirit communication is because they think that you're trying to play God or take power away from God, because that's something that, you know, he or she can do. And that's the only one who's supposed to be able to do that. You're going to the other side. You're trying to, play God and make yourself out to be, more than a man or woman, which is basically what we're supposed to believe, that we are just this and we're supposed to fear God and stuff like that. And I think that the best way to describe what it is to be spiritual, not religious, but spiritual, is that we're all connected.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are.
We are. And the most, if you look at any religion or any belief system, and, you know, most of us, we're wanting peace, but you look at any of them and it all comes, it all stems from love. And that's what Jesus spoke about, was love. Buddha talked about it. If you know, you're talking about many different stained glass in the lantern, and the one light is God, and these different pieces of glass are different religions, different philosophies. But they all, it's all about love. To me, that's it. Love. Love
first and foremost
is probably should be the only religion of the world. And it would incorporate.
Lead to one God.
Yep, it would. Yeah, that is God. In my estimation, love is the only thing that is truly real, and it's the thing that's prevalent in all religions. When you really try to dissect it, but then when you talk about control, that's when you're talking about man getting in there and wanting to. There's agendas that certain leaders had and certain time periods had that this is where things were altered, because it was about an agenda to have control and to monitor the people, because you certainly don't want a people that feels empowered, because your fear is if your populace has a sense of empowerment, then you're screwed as a leader, because why would they listen to you? Why would they? And this is what we're having now. A lot of people are questioning governments. A lot of people, you've got the Occupy movements happening. You've got all sorts of, you know, anarchy in ways that people are going with the internet and with social media. It's just so prevalent. Everybody is saying, wake up. Wake up and recognize that a lot of people don't have your best interests at heart, because they have agendas for power and their own greed. And
but you know what? It's so simple. It is just so simple. It's the love of creation and everything that God's created, whether it's a bug on the ground or anything. Everything lives. Everything has life. Anything that has life, God's put that life into that. Everything, whether it's an apple tree, an apple, a squirrel, everything reproduces to replenish the earth. That is a miracle if people don't believe in anything else. That alone, just to recreate, to have eyes that see, ears, a heart that beats, a digestive system. I mean, what more proof do you need? And they're fighting over politics, but they don't look at the simplicity, which is the truth. The simplicity is the truth.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
And that's beautiful, because if everything was, if we did sort of recognize that love is every is all things and real, so real, and the thing that ties us ultimately to all things, we wouldn't want to destroy each other. We wouldn't want to destroy animals. We wouldn't want to destroy the earth, right?
Yeah.
Because if we had that connection of love as opposed to that sense of mastery over all things, which is what I think many of the world's leaders are wanting to have mastery in. Mastery is not something that comes from love when it's over other beings. If it's over ourselves, it's a whole different thing, right?
Yeah.
But when it's about enslavement for others, then it's not love. And I just feel very strongly about love. I mean, I recognize the importance of it. I mean, I think we're kind of put love in different categories, and as a North American culture, we tend to be in love with the idea of romantic love, but romantic love is only a small piece of love, you know, and it's not, romantic love is something to strive for, yes, because it makes us all feel great and all that, but it's not the only part of love. Love is all things. Love is brotherly. Love is, you know, sisterly. Love is loving your fellow man, human beings, your neighbor. It's all of it. It goes beyond this idea of find a romantic partner and then, like Cinderella, it's that strive for one piece of love, but forget it. It's the love of family, the love of friends, the love of community, the love of society, the love of even being here, the love of the earth, right?
I just got a I just got a tweet from our good friend Leanne Tanaka. She just got a Twitter, I guess, or and she says, hologram music, goddesses of joy and inspiration, love you to bits, I'm listening. And she says, we are born with love, we only learn to hate.
And she's right.
Wow.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne.
We are
Leanne.
We're taught to hate. We're taught to be racist. We're taught to, you know, that's definitely true. We're born loving. We're born innocent. And then we're taught. And why are we taught to fear and to hate?
Exactly. Why? Because
it you want to know why?
Keeps us
watch
powerless.
Watch Dr. Phil. Yeah. Watch Dr. Phil. You'll know.
Well, you know what? I have to admit.
He's got it figured out.
You know what I love doing when I when a student cancels or when I'm waiting for a student and I'm at the house with my mom? We love to watch Judge Judy. And we like to watch Dr. Phil sometimes when I'm off work, when I'm staying at the house. And we learn a lot from those shows, actually.
Yeah. And it's just so simple. It's just, it starts inside of you. It starts inside of everybody. And that's what people, you have to convince everybody that it starts in front, inside of you, and it's what you believe. And if you just love and feel love towards everybody and everything, then it multiplies. It's like a ripple, you know, that goes out on the water. It starts with you. You're the pebble.
It does. And it starts, of course, it starts with us as individuals, yet there are a lot of people on this planet that are I would say just not treated with respect, not treated with honor, and not treated as they need to be. And we're talking earlier about God and God being outside of us, but we also have to recognize that God is us. We are part of all that, each and every one of us. And there is no life that is greater than another, but we're taught that we're supposed to be, you know, okay with this caste system of living in this planet. And it's not okay. And, you know, if we were to recognize that each and every life is as valid as the other, as opposed to saying, well, you're a queen, that means that you're far more important than a woman who works in a laundry.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is not true.
Everyone's equal.
The queen is equal to the woman in the laundry, and the woman in the laundry is equal to the queen. And but we're taught that we're, you know, this again is about this idea of control and enslavement, because then the queen can basically say, I am the queen, you must do as I say. Mm-hmm.
But they create this out of fear.
Of course they do, but it's the, you know, you're talking about, we've had shows about this before, about how it's the, I think 3% of the population of this planet have the majority of the wealth, like 90-something percent of the wealth of the planet. So this is the kind of stuff that has to transition, because we're not going to have people that aren't starving. We're not going to have people that are home, you know, aren't homeless.
Yeah.
We're not going to have any of this until we recognize the divinity within each and every person, each and every life on this planet. Because if we sort of put someone as higher than another, then it justifies the wars. It justifies the injustices. Mm-hmm. But if we were to say, no, he is the same as the other, and she is the same as the other, then we would be hesitant to be so dismissive and so destructive. I really, truly believe that.
I agree with that.
And that's so do I.
And that's part of, you know, again, that's coming to love. It's returning to love, as Marianne Williamson would say in her book, A Return to Love.
And you know what? It's fear. It's fear of people being out of control. You know what I mean? So that the wealth creates the jobs, it creates the economy, it creates, you know, and some people are more fortunate and some people aren't. But then again, it's the people that are fortunate that should help the ones that aren't. But I mean, how does this change?
Well, you just already said it. It starts with you, but it's also, it's about not living in fear. It's for all of us to stop being led by fear. to not believe in the fear, to call fear what it is, which is an illusion. To look at a lot of the things that are told, and we're told that this is the rule and this is the way it has to be, and see it that it's not. It's not true. It's not real. So I think the more that each of us dismantle the illusions, which a lot of the illusions are in government, they are in rules. Apparent, I'll put that in parentheses, the air quotes. And it's not about being complete anarchists in the dark way in terms of being equally destructive. It's about anarchy in a very light, positive way. And I believe that anarchy can be light.
Well, I agree too. I agree. Well, Leanne tweeted back and she said, I think I can send $300 to the evangelists and my debt will disappear. Go figure. Fear spawns control. And that goes right back into the whole anarchy mindset is that people think that control is basically obey and, you know, you will be a productive member of society and things like that. But I think that...
And it give. Was, give.
Exactly. Give. And we wrote a song about that called Where's the Grace?
Yes.
About...
that's a good song.
Thank you. We saw a horrible show on TV where people, they were asking for a minimum of like $1,000.
No, it was more than that.
$10,000.
It was an evangelical Christian group that was, in all honesty, like they were starkly and unabashedly requesting a minimum of $10,000 donation for their cause.
And then you'll get a little vial of holy water in return.
it was insane. That to me is the definition of insanity.
That to me is the only Satan there is. So
that's pretty dark. It is. To have someone believe that you support my cause and I'm higher than you because I'm closer to God. This is what I'm talking about. To say you're talking to God, you're a preacher or you're an evangelical or whatever it is you are, means you're closer, is also untrue.
We need to start a new political party called Hologram.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hologram Party. People, send in your money today.
Yeah, that won't be just as bad then. I mean, send us your donations instead of that. I truly believe that that this planet is transitioning. I think that it's, consciously we are changing. I don't think it's going to happen as quickly as some of us feel or wish that it would.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we stop doing what we're doing. I think that's the thing. And it's hard not to, quite honestly, when you're a person who's very sensitive, it's really, really challenging and really difficult not to just kind of say, flex what you call the fuck it muscle. Because there's times when you just think, this is ridiculous. Like, what's wrong with this
joke?
I got that from an addictions counselor. He said, we like to flex the fuck it muscle.
Some more than others, right? Some more than others.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not really the best muscle to flex. That's my point in saying it. Because I think we've all gone to that stage and felt that very much in our lives where things seem so overbearing or they seem so daunting or they seem so painful. And a lot of us get to that place of actually wanting to end our lives because we just say F it. And
now she says F.
Well, I'm just being just doing that say, for you because you're giving
kidding.
Me these funny looks.
I was laughing. You can say the F word on the radio.
Well, we can hear because it's our show. And I'm not saying it to cause shock. I'm just saying it because that's what it is.
It was funny.
And
the chef word, right, Ash?
The chef word. That's what I thought it was when I was a kid.
Chef word.
He said the chef word, Mom. That's true if you're Gordon Ramsay.
That's great. Don't say the chef word again, Mom. Mommy, don't say the chef word.
Yeah, because we used to say, don't say the F word, and Ash thought it was chef. So she said, don't say the chef word.
I really, truly did.
That's cute. That's a little
Ash. At a mouth of babes.
Yeah. But I mean, just, it's tough. It's tough. I'm just coming from an honest place. Sometimes it's tough to even think that we can make a difference, to think that we can, bring love to the world, actually my thing is I want people to have the freedom that they deserve to have, to the freedom to know that they are truly important. And
that's a good,
And that's definitely what where love comes. We can love each other. We love ourselves, but it's just basically giving each other the freedom to be who we are. And I think mm-hmm. that's where we're really kind of falling short on this planet, because we tend to be a little too prejudiced as to who we give those freedoms to. And these freedoms belong to everyone. And I really want yeah. everyone to know and to empower themselves. And that's why I do what I do. And it sounds maybe a little cheesy, but it's the truth. And, you know, with every risk, every healthy risk I take, like believing in spirit guides was one of them. It gets me closer to my own sense of divinity, my own sense of freedom. And then I just want to share it. I want people to get theirs. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's not about telling people to do it the way I do it. It's about, of course, it's about living and letting live. But that's exactly what we need to do, is live and let live. It's not about causing harm. And
no.
And I really do feel, the reason why I asked you that question, Janice, is because my whole point in asking you that question about bringing the metaphysical in with the Orthodox Christianity was that there are things that seem that they're polar opposites that can actually coexist. And I want people yeah. to start believing that you don't have to. You can actually be, for example, you can be a Wiccan Christian. You can probably be an Islamic Jew. Why not? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I don't think that people have to be so stringent.
And pigeonholed.
And I think that's part of the freedom is just being. I watched a movie recently where the little boy was telling his Muslim parents, I'm going to be Jewish, I'm going to be Christian, and I'm going to be Muslim. And he was honest. He had an affinity for all of these religions, and he connected as a small boy to each of them in his own way. And they just kind of yeah. looked at him with these like, what? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I thought that was perfect. I really like that. And I think in film and in music, this is why I'm a musician. And I think that with our art, we can actually convey these kind of ideas. And I think art yeah. is so vitally important.
It reaches people. Yeah. And that's the thing. Art reaches people just like Twitty. Woody's alter ego. He just tweeted one of our friends. He says, happy third radio anniversary to two unbelievably talented, profound, and nutty broads. Love ya.
Oh, I'm glad he said nutty.
Yeah, because we are. I just called him Twitty. So sorry, man.
Was that an eye for an eye? Was that a subliminal eye for an eye, Ash?
I'm pretty sure it was. Sorry, man.
You call me nutty, I call you Twitty.
And we have 10 minutes left on air. If anybody else wants to call in, the number is 888-627-6008.
Or if you want to tweet.
Or if you want to tweet us at Hologram Music. And we want to thank my mom and our dearest, closest friend, Janice, for calling in yes. for her song and for her time on the air.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, your wisdom is important.
And we love you very much, and we always, this is why we have, you have a song. You're part of our show. We appreciate your contribution because you are a really beautiful, loving woman who loves so openly. So thank you for that, Janice.
You're welcome, and I love you guys, and congratulations again.
Thank
I'm going to go walk Casey now.
Okay.
Casey
Bye.
Wants to go to the park.
Right.
Okay,
fun.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So thank you to Janice for calling in, and it's our three-year anniversary, and we just get going. We just get going. So now's the time for
going for what?
I don't know. But we're going to ask for, just some light stuff to end it off with. Why don't you, Cheryl, about the last 3 years as you stick a beer cap on your head, why don't you give some of the listeners maybe your top five most memorable memories from the last 3 years of our radio show?
The ones that I can share.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because there's lots of, I can't share, unfortunately. There's such a thing as we have our private lives, right? The ones that I can share very openly and honestly, top five moments. Well, first of all, I want to talk about this show very briefly. I know we don't have a lot of time. I had been feeling led by Spirit to do a radio show several years ago. and tried to get it off the ground prior with another person, actually, who I was working with some metaphysical things. And that, again, didn't pan out because it wasn't meant to be. And then when I met Ash and we started the band together and our friendship, I would say that's number one, actually, Ash, is my friendship with you.
Thank you.
It's grown really beautifully, and you're an amazing person. And I'm really blessed not only have you as a friend, but also as a music partner, a creative partner, because it's amazing what we create together. And I feel very blessed. You're an amazing talent, and I like how we work together musically.
Yeah,
I'll never forget the first time when we started writing songs together, and they just flowed. We just both felt very much that there was no struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Things just came out of us. It was almost like the songs were pre-written, and we were just kind of the bearers of the songs. And so to have that kind of a, not only a musical connection with someone, but also an emotional, a mental, and a spiritual connection was a real blessing to me.
I agree.
And so I'm grateful for the friendship that we have. But getting back to the show, when our band started, I actually approached Ash and said, hey, you know, I was going to start this thing, and I still feel that this is something that I'd like to do, and I'm wondering if you're interested in joining me. And that started the Hologram Radio Show. And that was, you know, back in January. I think, I don't even know the exact date off the top of my head. I think it was the 16th.
No, I don't remember.
I think it was January 16th, 2011. And that was our first show. And that was when we, you know, our band had another member. We're just the two of us now. We're kind of like a duo. Like, we're like Tegan and Sarah.
No, we're like Veruca Salt.
We're Veruca Salt. That's right. I love that band.
I love Veruca Salt so much.
So anyways, I just feel very blessed that this show has been going on. I want to say a huge shout out to Don and Doug Newsome. Don has been our most regular engineer. Don and Doug are brothers, and it's BBS is their baby. And just an extraordinary gentleman. Both of you are extraordinary gentlemen, full of love, very supportive, very kind, very gracious. So thank you to Don and Doug Newsome of BBS Radio for being such extraordinary people. And, you know, strongly recommend this station for any of you contemplating having your own show. This is a great great station to be on, and amazing people to, like, truly amazing, not just people that, you know, tell you what you want to hear. They are genuine, and what a blessing. So there's been so much that's happened the last 3 years that I can't get into in the next 4 minutes of the show. But I just wanted to talk about our friendship and say how much it means to me, and talk about
our
musical partnership and how much it means to me, and the radio show partnership, because you're a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun with you.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of fun. And, you know, that's the special part of being, you know, bandmates, is that it's a little more special than even just being, well, obviously it's way more special than just being acquaintances and dissing you on the air.
Hi, I just met you. Do you want to start a band?
But,
sure.
You know, it's about, because every bandmate, I mean, good bandmate, good fit, you have to have a flow with. And it's not like you're taking from each other. It's like you're adding to each other.
Well, yeah, we've both been in different bands. We've both been in bands with different people, like quite a few different people. And bands are like a marriage. It's true. For those of you who are musicians, when you're in a band, it's like whether you're a band of three or a band of six, it's like it's a big marriage, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. You can't just, if a band breaks up, it's a big deal, especially when you're a big band and all your, you know, the fans are just going, hey, you can't break up. So it's very much, you know, there's a lot of interpersonal stuff that goes on with any band. You read any biography and you're going to hear a lot of stuff about what goes on behind the scenes. And it's not always pretty, but with Ash, it's just, no matter what, there's a definite respect and an honoring there, which I really, which I really appreciate, because you don't always get that.
Well, exactly. And I mean, you're really good. Like, I mean, especially every band, that you kind of have to treat the people as individuals too. And, you know, we do that, and we allow each other our lives and stuff. I don't know. It sounds better in my head, like everything usually before I talk. Sometimes I'm talking to a student or something, and then I say something, and I'm trying to be funny and break the ice, and then it comes out sounding stupid, and then my stupidity is what breaks the ice. So
you're not stupid, but you're funny though. You definitely are very funny. But we should probably say goodbye. We're going to leave you with our most recent iTunes release, as we stated.
Very raw, very grungy, very punky, very melodic.
There's no auto tune on this. This is I'm Back. We love you. Kiss trees. Happy third anniversary to us. And thank you for joining us. And we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys.
Hey guys, this is Angelica Redlund from Sweden. Some people seem to think that we Swedes are kind of a promiscuous people. And I have to tell you, being a good girl and all, that is so true. But it's a good thing, right? I mean, if I didn't have my crazy neighbors to write about, what inspiration would I have for my songs? Listen to my music from the CD So Far here at BBS Radio and get to know my neighbors. You can also check out my website, angelicaredlund.com, or add me as a friend on MySpace and maybe get to know me as well. Take care.